I remember one time I was watching E.V. Hill, great Baptist preacher, wasn't he? Man of God. And he preached about salvation and how that a man told him when he was a young man, said, if you don't believe in Jesus, you get to go to hell to be with the devil instead of going to heaven to be with God. And he said, when the invitation, I couldn't wait for the invitation to be given. And as soon as it was, I catapulted out of my seat and I ran down there and said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. And people said, well, he scared you into making Jesus Lord of your life. He said, I don't care how he done it. He done it. You know, and he said, I didn't want to go to hell when I saw that. And so that day in Kennedy's church, when E.V. Hill gave the invitation, I think half of that church came down to the altar to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is people and there is churches that's got good pastors there that they teach and preach about all kinds of things, but they never talk about salvation and how you have to get saved. I remember a few years ago when I was still working as an engineer, I was coming out of Chicago and I got on an airplane and there was an older woman sitting beside me and her husband sitting by the window. And of course, she talked my arm off. What do you do? Where are you from? You know, all kinds of things. And so I answered all of her questions and then we took off. When we did, she started looking out the window. So I get out my Bible. And so we get about 30 or 40 minutes away from Chicago and she finally said, sir, is that a Bible you're reading? I said, yes, ma'am, it's a Bible. She says, do you read that often? I said, every day. I said, are you a Christian? She said, I'm a Catholic. I said, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said, I'm a Catholic. I said, ma'am, I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And about that time, her husband, he said, what are y'all talking about there? I said, your wife just told me she's a Catholic. And he said, yes, I'm a Catholic too. We're good ones. I said, you go to church? He said, every Sunday. I said, well, praise God. You go to church every Sunday. I said, have you ever made Jesus Christ Lord of your life? He says, do what? I said, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart the Father raised him from the dead? He said, no, I never heard that. I said, you've been in church all of your life? Now, this guy's 10 or 12 years older than me at least. He says, no, I never heard that. Nobody ever told us in church we had to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, I tell you what, that's pretty sad. But look what the Lord says here. They said, no, we don't know, Lord. Thomas said, we haven't any idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. I have dealt with multitudes of people in my life. Every man that ever came through my office, as I was an engineer working for different companies all over this country, no man that I ever come in contact with that I had anything do for me or that I met that I did not talk to him about Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? Well, I hope so. You go to church? Yeah. What kind? Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, whatever. Do you have a relationship with God? When you stand before God one day when you die, when he says, why should I let you in my heaven? What are you going to say? Well, surely my good works have outweighed my bad. You have no idea how many times I've heard that. Is that going to get them in heaven? No. So you've been the best husband there ever was. You never abused your wife. You never hurt her. You raised your children. You worked hard. You provided good for them. You did everything. But you never read the word to them. You never taught them about Jesus Christ. And you never took them to church. If they die, where are they going to go? Anybody that dies and does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, where are they going to go? To hell. People say, well, I don't like to talk about hell. Well, I don't like to talk about it either, but I'm going to because I don't want you to go there. I want you to know that if you tell me you're a Christian and you don't obey God and do what he says, you know what the Lord himself says? He says, you're a liar and I don't know you. I tell you what to do. You get in my word and do what I said. That proves to me that you love me and that you do what I say. And Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. So if that's true, then how many ways to heaven are there?
One.
And who is that one? You can't be so naive to believe that everybody else in the world that don't believe in this one Jesus you believe in, when they die, they're going to go to hell. I've had that question thrown in my face a lot of times. God would never, he's a loving God, he would never do anything like that. You know that you got to have made many ways to heaven. His word says there's how many ways? Now, if his word says there's only one, how many are there?
One.
If he says, I am the truth and I am the life and I am the way, and no man comes to the Father in heaven except to come through me, how are you going to get to heaven? You're either going to go through Jesus or you ain't going to get there. But I'm a good Mormon. I'm a good Muslim. I'm a good Buddhist. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. You have to look them right in the eye and say, no, you ain't going to make it. They'll hate you for that. They'll hate you for that. But that's okay. You have to tell them. Starting in John chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. We're in the NLT here. If you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. They're looking at him, and of course they don't know it, but not verse 9 and 10. Jesus replied, Philip, don't you even yet know who I am? Even after all the time I have been with you, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. So if I have seen you and you profess to be a Christian, who have I seen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Do they all live inside of each one of us? Yes, they all three live inside of us. Like this man, he's not a real close friend of mine, but he's the one that I told you the story about that, you know, he'd already been to seminary and he's a pastor in the church, and then him and his wife had a little difficulty and she went home to mama for a few weeks, and he met this old high school flame, you know, and they go to dinner, and then first thing you know, they're up there in the bedroom and getting ready to go to bed together and everything. And here she is laying there in the bed with no clothes on, and he's fixing to get undressed and crawl in bed with her, and that's not his wife. And all of a sudden he hears a voice. John, do you know what you're fixing to do is sin? And he turned around and looked, and there ain't nobody there. But who was there? With you and me, who is always there? So every time you think about doing something wrong, who's watching you? Who knows everything about you and me? Jesus, I guarantee. You can't get away from him, can you? I think about this little girl that used to work for me that kept telling me, Pastor, I want to hear God's voice. Like you, I've heard you say how many times he's spoken to you about, I want to hear his voice. I said, just stay in there, worship him and praise him and thank him. And I said, at the right time, you'll hear his voice. Oh, she said, I just can't wait for that day. Well, one day she was with her to-be husband, and they were sitting out at the lake just talking, and he had his arm around her, and she starts fantasizing. She shouldn't have done that. Is that sin? Yeah, sure. When we fantasize sexually, is that sin? Yes, it is. Just as guilty under the new covenant, it says we're as guilty as if we'd been in bed with that girl or guy. We're guilty. So she was sitting there fantasizing about him, and he wasn't. He was just thinking about something. He was just talking to her. And all of a sudden the Lord says, Elizabeth, stop it. You're sinning. Boy, she scooted over on the other side of the car. He said, something wrong? She said, well, I just think I need to sit over here for a little while. Next day when she told me, she said, Pastor, that's not what I wanted to hear. You know, nobody wants to hear God judge them, do we? You know what we want to hear him say? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you little sweetheart, you're such a little sweet daughter of mine. I so love you. You want to hear God say something good to you. Don't want to hear him say, you're sinning. But thank God he does that too once in a while, right? Does he do that to every one of us? If we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we start to do something or we start to get into an unforgiveness towards someone, the Holy Ghost is in there saying, knock, knock, knock. Isn't he? Saying, don't do that. Don't go there. So he's trying his best to keep you and me from sin. Verse 11 and 12. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of what you have seen me do. Now, what did we see Jesus do? Wow. Did he control the storms? Did he stop the winds? Did he call the fish in where the fish come in and they caught hundreds of fish, broke the net almost? Did he heal the sick? Did he cast out demons? Did he do everything we can imagine and even more? In fact, we read in the book of John, John says that if everything was written that Jesus done, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to write it all in. Wow, that's a lot of stuff, you know it? That's a lot of stuff. Okay, then he says in verse 12, the truth is, anyone who believes in me. Now, who does that include? Are you a believer in Jesus? I'm a believer in Jesus too. Okay, so the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Is that an awesome promise from God? How many years was I a member of the church and had no idea that that would work for me? And there's still a lot of people in church today that don't believe these truths are for them. Isn't that sad? The Bible said, look at this promise. So I'm standing on the promises of God. The truth is, anyone who believes in me, so I like to personalize these things when I read these promises. The truth is, Thurman, who believes in Jesus, will do the same things that Jesus did, the same works that Jesus has done, and even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. That promise is to you and me. I don't care. I mean, I used to ask PhDs, and I used to ask pastors things, because when I was just a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, I knew if I needed an answer about God's Word, I could always ask my pastor. He would always know. Then I found out how little we know. Now that I've become a pastor, I realize how little I know. And so there's a lot of questions that people ask me today. They still do me the same way. Cheryl comes to me once in a while and says, what about this? And I said, well, I don't know. She said, what? You're the pastor. You're supposed to know everything. Oh, I wish I did. But unfortunately, I don't know it all, but I do know a little. But that's why I spend so many hours in that office in there locked up with my computer with the Word of God in front of it, reading and studying God's Word. Because I feel like if I don't spend 8 or 10 hours at least a week, in fact, usually I spend that many, 8 or 10 hours on a Saturday and a Sunday. On those 2 days, I will spend 8 or 10 hours every weekend studying God's Word. I mean, I want to know what the Bible says, don't you? I want to know what the promise is, just like it says there. The truth is, now, if this is the truth, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, well, I'm going to tell you folks, that includes me, because I am a believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, I'll have to tell you, I sent some teachings out to, I think it was Oregon, Washington, or somewhere. And there was a 10-year-old boy. He loved to listen to those with his mom. And, of course, he learned all these things, because I teach these things right out of God's Word. And I got a call from his, or an email, whatever it was, from his mother. And she says, we went on a cruise to Hawaii. So the second day out, the seas got so rough, everybody was getting sick on the boat. And so my little 10-year-old son says, Mom, don't you think it's time we go up on the deck and take care of this? And she said, well, what do you mean? She said, you know, Pastor Thurman told us that Jesus said. Now, see, that's where a boy lives on dangerous ground when he heard what Jesus said, right? He said, Pastor Thurman said, Jesus said that we can speak to those waves and storms and we can calm the sea just like he did.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Holy Spirit Empowerment, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.